Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sutter. I'm joined on our show once more by a very special guest, Jim Aiello of the Indy Star. He's a Colts beat writer over there. He also does a Colts Cover 2 podcast with Joel Erickson. How are you doing today?
Good. Doing well. Just trying to keep up with all the news, and it seems like everything came out in a flurry the first couple days, and it's been kind of trickling out the last few days. So it's definitely been interesting to keep track on, especially in these kind of strange days that we're living in.
Yeah, and especially for the Colts, like you mentioned there, Jim, they start off with a bang. They start off with DeForest Buckner, and they get Philip Rivers. And ever since then, it's been really kind of quiet on the Colts front. But we'll go chronological order here with DeForest Buckner. And sure, that trade, I feel like, was a monumental one for this Colts defense, because I feel like it was kind of the crowning jewel of what Chris Ballard wants to do to that defense, adding a disruptive three technique like DeForest Buckner, 6'7", 300-plus pounds. He's going to open things up for just Houston Kamokatura on the outside. Darius Slayton is going to be running free a lot, and the secondary is going to have less pressure on them if Buckner can get more inside pressures. So, Jim, what do you think is the impact that Buckner's going to make for this Colts team, not only in 2020 but beyond?
Yeah, I kind of think he hit the nail on the head there. I really, you know, I've been watching the film the last few days, especially kind of like you said, things slow down, so I got a chance to kind of go through film a little bit more. And what I like about Buckner, as you said, like, he does make a lot of impact in terms of getting to the quarterback, getting quarterback hits, getting pressures, and getting in the quarterback's face and disrupting things. But what I really liked about him is the amount of attention that other teams have had to pay to him and the benefit that that has on his teammates. Guys like, you know, in San Francisco, it was guys like Nick Bosa. It was guys like Eric Armstead. And those guys were able to kind of take advantage and wreak havoc while teams were focused on Buckner. So I really love the effect that he might have on guys like Kamoko Ture, as you mentioned, Justin Houston, even a DeNico Autry, who will slide down the line a little bit and be able to try to get pressure from different spots. Love that. Also love, like you said, for the future. This was a move, like, I was bouncing in my head, and I'm kind of actually writing a story right now that is weighing this, like, is it a win now move? Is it a future move? And I think Buckner's kind of both in a way, if that's, you know, maybe copping out a little bit, but it's kind of, you know, he obviously he's one of the best interior linemen in football. So he's going to be disruptive immediately and help them win now, which I think kind of aligns with the Philip Rivers move, which I know we'll get to later, but also, you know, he's a key building block piece. Now he's signed to a 5-year contract. He's going to be around, which, you know, with, we assume, with Darius Leonard, once he signs his extension in a couple of years, you know, you'd hope Kamoko Ture being one of those guys, Kenny Moore being one of those guys. And so you kind of have, at least defensively, your building blocks in place. And I think that's what Chris Ballard is hoping for. And as you talked about, the three technique, I mean, this is something Chris Ballard told us. If he's told us once, he's told us 100 times. It is the key to this defense. It's the thing that he thinks needs to kind of unlocks everybody else. I've talked about this on my own podcast and with Joel, but you know, you look back at some of these cover two defenses that they played, that Chris Ballard is kind of modeling the Colts after, the Bears, you know, in the 2000s and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before that. They had guys like Tommy Harris and Warren Sapp. Now, Warren Sapp is obviously in a level all his own, and I don't think many people can be compared to him. But I liked a guy like Tommy Harris, who kind of helped unlock that Bears defense. And eventually, you know, it was a year after they drafted him, they make their Super Bowl run against the Colts. And so he had a huge impact, got a lot of pressure from the inside, and helped turn guys like Alex Brown and Adewale Agunlia from good pass rushers into great ones for a few years, for sure. And so, yeah, just the impact all around that Buckner is going to be able to make, I don't think can be understated. And one thing I want to add, sorry, I've been talking for a while, but one thing I want to add is that I kind of thought it showed some humility on Chris Ballard's part. Like, I think he's a very good drafter. I think the evidence speaks for itself there. Obviously, he's had some misses, but I think at 13, he maybe wanted to get a guy who could do what Buckner did, but said, you know what, there's a chance I might not get it, or that guy might not fall to me, or I might not be able to move up and get that guy, or something to that, like that. So he said, you know what, I'm going to take the sure thing, go get a guy like DeForest Buckner, and sacrifice my first-round pick. So kind of liked all parts of this move.
Yeah, and definitely on the defensive side of things, it's going to unlock, like you mentioned there, Jim, guys like Kamoko Ture and Justin Houston, Darius Leonard. That secondary is going to have less pressure on them as well if the interior can get pressure on the quarterback themselves. And I look more and more at this deal, and I think this is just skipping steps for Chris Ballard, as far as if you drafted, let's say, Derek Brown or Javon Kinlaw, Jim, you're going to be waiting at least a year or two for development there. You're getting now an all-pro straight from day one, maybe the best player on your defense. Darius Leonard definitely has a good case for that, but I don't think people realize yet how much a foundational impact Buckner's going to have on all three levels of this defense.
I can completely agree. And a guy like, you know, does Derek Brown fall? Maybe. And I think that guy is ready to kind of make an impact right away. But again, What are the chances the Colts get him at 13? Ballard doesn't know for sure and doesn't probably want to give up draft capital to move up and get him. Which, you know, weirdly would cost, you know, the one plus versus, you know, the one he only paid for Buckner. Then you get a guy like Kinlaw, who by his own admission is raw. You know, he talked about you know, kind of winning on pure power and physicality alone and being anxious to learn more pass rush moves from professionals and kind of learning from the guys around him. That's great when you're drafting a guy. But like you said, if you want a guy who's just going to come in and wreak havoc right away, Buckner's going to be the guy versus the guy like Kinlaw, no disrespect to whatever the player that Kinlaw becomes. But even a guy like Buckner, I was watching some tape from his rookie season. Very raw, very, very raw player. Guy had all kinds of physical ability, but really didn't have the kind of finesse or I guess the tactical discipline and his pass rushing especially, and has definitely come along in that way. So I think that kind of speaks to, like you said, skipping steps. And then the other thing that you mentioned too, I think this will have a positive effect on the secondary. I know they're looking for a little more out of the guys that they have out there. Obviously they cut Pierre Desir, not happy with what he gave them, but maybe this helps unlock a guy even like Malik Hooker. You know, if quarterbacks are forced to make just a snap second decision a little bit faster than they have in the past, maybe Malik Hooker turns into a bit more of a playmaker. I don't know. I mean, like I said, what the things that Buckner can do, I can't wait to see how he has an effect on the Colts defense.
Obviously, Bauer's not done adding, whether it's probably small free agency moves on the margins here, Jim, or in the draft. We're probably guaranteed at least a pick or two on the defensive side, I imagine, there. What do you think the upside is for this Colts defense now in 2020? I believe it's the first time. I did some own digging myself on a Pro Football Reference, and I believe it's the first time the Colts have had two All-Pros of the same season since Bob Sanders and Dwight Freeney in 2005. So you're adding in Buckner and Darius Leonard to that mix, two All-Pros there. What do you think the upside is for this defense, Jim, if Buckner hits the ground running?
That's very cool. I didn't know that. It's a cool stat. I mean, you'd hope top 10 defense, right? I mean, I think that's kind of what the Matt Eberflus and his third year there and the development of some of the guys they already have there. And like you said, there's some maybe other minor moves and tweaks that are coming. Well, maybe not minor. Maybe they're making another major move. But other moves that are coming to kind of supplement this defense. Clearly, they need to do something at corner to replace Pierre Desir, I think. So, yeah, I think there are some other moves coming. But I think what they're hoping is they built a top 10 defense. There was a section of time during last season where they looked like a top 10 defense. Frank Reich even said it. He said, I think he said top five, but I could be wrong. One of the top five best defenses in football. And they were playing like it, I think, during that, you know, that stretch of games, starting with, I think, the Kansas City game. Now we can get into the, you know, the nuances of Mahomes playing a little bit hurt and not having his weapons around it. But they really did play a stout brand of defense that game. And for about five or six games after that, we're playing exceptionally well. And then kind of fell off. I think everybody knows it was that Kenny, once Kenny Moore got hurt, things kind of started to slide. And then they just never really got things back under control. I mean, they got ripped apart by New Orleans, got ripped apart by Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay. So those things they need to kind of curtail and adjust to it and not let things fall off when kind of, you know, I mean, I think Chris Ballard talked about it. When things started to slide, they couldn't stop the slide. So I think bringing in a veteran like Buckner, who's been to the Super Bowl and kind of knows how that thing goes, should be helpful in that way. But yeah, I to answer your question, I think upside, I think you're hoping for a top 10 defense at this point.
Yeah, and then you also look now to the offensive side with Philip Rivers and that signing, Jim. 1 year, $25 million. From both sides of it, though, Philip Rivers wants to play more in 1 year. Jim Irsay, from his quotes today on the Colts.com, saying like he's comfortable if Philip Rivers plays well, he can get another year or two in Indianapolis as well. So it seems like this deal is obviously comfort for Frank Reich's part, Nick Sirianni, with the familiarity with Philip Rivers. But explain to the audience here, Jim, why you believe, or if you are on that side, like why you believe Philip Rivers is an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett, why the Colts went under this move.
Yeah, so and I would direct you guys too, especially to the IndyStar.com. I think Joel Erickson's done some really good job, and he's actually working on something else, but we'll kind of explain what what the Colts' thinking is on a move like this, but how Philip Rivers maybe fits more the Frank Reich offense. He's going to be a guy that's going to push the ball downfield a little bit more and with more accuracy. Some of the numbers that are between his accuracy and Jacoby Brissett's accuracy going downfield are kind of stunning. Now, if you wanted to kind of play devil's advocate, you'd say, well, the Colts don't really have a guy like Mike Williams who went up and got a lot of those deep passes for Philip Rivers. And being as banged up as they were last year, Brissett didn't have a ton of help. That's a fair point for sure. But what Rivers has been consistently throughout his career, up until last year, really, and even still last year, he was an accurate quarterback, a guy who's going to make a lot of the short throws. He doesn't hang on to the ball very long in the pocket, which means he's going to take advantage of the Colts' offensive line. He is, I mean, he flourished when throwing to guys like Austin Ekeler, which, you know, Nyheim Hines should be licking his chops right now. And he really took advantage of a guy making big plays out of the backfield. I do think this move makes sense. And in that, I think he's pretty unquestionably an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. How big, I don't know yet. Obviously, we'll see what he's got left in the tank. The 23 touchdowns versus 20 interceptions is certainly concerning from last year. I actually looked at a video somebody cut together, and it was, I think he had 40 passes last year that either should have been or could have been intercepted. So definitely did some decision-making issues you're not going to be thrilled with if he's doing that again this year. So there's definitely some questions about that, but I think overall his pedigree and his background and his resume speak for itself. He already knows Frank Reich's offense. He should be able to step right in and do that. And to me, the part about this deal that I like the most is the one-year part of it. I know, like you just talked about, Jim Irsay is comfortable with him staying here multiple years. Rivers kind of talked about it a little bit, saying that he'd like to turn it into a couple of years. But he also said, you know, I want to make this a year-to-year thing and just see where we are after every year. And if I'm healthy and feeling good and I played well, then, yeah, let's make it year two and year three maybe. But I like that it's a one-year deal because it gives the Colts a chance to just get out if they need to. If Rivers kind of keeps falling off a cliff and regressing like we saw in 2019, and that wasn't just a mirage, then they do need to get out of that, and they do need to start planning for another future. So what I like about Rivers is that it's a one-year thing. They have that option. He also kind of buys them time with a little more upside than Brissett to try to find, you know, the next face of the franchise. I've written this, I think, 10 times already. I feel like since they signed Rivers, was that he's not the future. They need to find that guy, and he's going to be a guy who gives them, who buys them time while being competitive to find that, you know, Andrew Luck's heir.
Jim, when I was looking at some numbers the last couple of days with Philip Rivers, the Colts finished last year 7 total and total rushing yards. And the last time the Chargers had a top 7 rushing attack was 2007, which was 13 years ago. So it's been a very long time since Philip Rivers had a really good ground game with Brian Levine and Tomlinson. Thrown in the mix, DeForest Buckner, we just talked about as well. You're hoping the Colts make a leap to a top 10 defense, you know, but the offensive line as well. It seems like the Colts are banking on Philip Rivers walking into a talented team, maybe arguably one of the most talented he's ever walked into in a very long time, in the last decade plus. And you also toss in the offensive line, the best he ever had in his career. You have to limit the turnovers there at the offensive line, I imagine. That's probably what they're banking on, too. Do you think the Colts probably thinking on that is probably that, Jim? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're expecting him to step in and make them AFC South contender, which, I mean, to be fair, through the first half of last season, they were, right? And they were the year before with Andrew Luck, but with a lot of similar players in this roster. Obviously, last year they had a pretty similar team to what they have now. And now they're expecting a higher level of quarterback play out of Philip Rivers to help them contend for the South title, which is going to be tough. I mean, we can get into this if you want, but for as stupid as some of the moves the Texans have made this offseason, they're still a very good team. And Tennessee didn't get any worse. They haven't gotten a ton better yet, but they haven't really gotten worse. I mean, losing Jarrell Casey will hurt, obviously, but they should be able to replace what he does either in the draft or by signing a low-level free agent. But either way, there was a team that was playing in the AFC championship game. So tough. It's a tall task, but I do think that they're going to expect him to slide in with, like you said, a good offensive line. Thrive, I would think, in play action based on the way that they're going to want to play in Frank Reich's offense, and given the success of the ground game with Marlon Mack and Hines and Wilkins. I do think that, you know, the one thing you look at with Rivers last year is I would say he had superior weapons. I don't think that's a very controversial statement. Keenan Allen is one of the greatest. I think he's one of the best receivers in football. He's probably one of the best route runners, most polished route runners in football. Mike Williams is a guy who's inconsistent, sure, but a guy who has some incredibly unique physical ability. And I don't think the Colts have receivers like that. I think T.Y. Hilton's still great, but he's on the wrong side of 30 now and coming off his most injury beset season that he's had in his career. So you have some questions there. Paris Campbell, don't quite know what you have there. I think he's talented, but you don't know for sure. You like Zach Pascal, but again, what's the upside there? Consistent receiver. But I think you're probably hoping for more a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 kind of guy. And then Jack Doyle is a very consistent, technically sound tight end, but Hunter Henry, to me, is the far superior pass-catching tight end. And so, I don't know. Like I said, I think you need to maybe go out and address and add a few more weapons for him, to be able to thrive and take him to where I think they're hoping to go.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The Colts aren't done, and I imagine they're going to use a lot of draft capital on the offensive side to help out Philip Rivers in this offense to take it another level. But what do you think right now, just adding in Buckner and also Philip Rivers in the mix here, Jim, is the ceiling of this Colts team? And we can compare it to the AFC South if you want to as well, because, like you mentioned, the Texans, I have no idea what they're doing with trading DeAndre Hopkins. Nuts. And you see the Jaguars are tanking for Trevor Lawrence, it seems like. The Titans are running it all back. Maybe the Colts think that Ryan Tannehill is just a one-year wonder, or Derrick Henry has the wheels fall off a little bit. Who knows? That's the same team of running back. They traded Jarrell Casey to a big part of their defense to Denver. So I think that the Colts are pushing the chips at the right time here, Jim, where they could capitalize and maybe somehow, some way, get back on top of the AFC South again.
Right, and then you get to the playoffs. Like, I mean, just to kind of go off on what you're saying, you know, people are like, well, they're good enough to beat the Ravens or the Chiefs. On paper right now, no, probably not. But you don't know what things are going to look like in January, you know? I mean, where are Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson going to be in terms of health? And you know, some guys can fall off. I mean, we've seen huge years from guys, and then they get worse. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is getting any worse, by the way. But, you know, you never know in terms of health. And we saw kind of what a great defense can do to Patrick Mahomes for three quarters in the Super Bowl. They were able to stifle him a little bit and keep them, and the 49ers were able to keep themselves in the game. And that was a lot due to DeForest Buckner getting some interior pressure. So I think what they're trying to do is build themselves into a team that maybe doesn't need superstar caliber quarterback play like Patrick Mahomes, like an Aaron Rodgers, like Lamar Jackson, to get to the promised land. I think what they're hoping is they can build a very, you know, a top 10 defense, young, opportunistic defense, and then have an offense that is good enough to do the things they need to do. Again, you're kind of looking at that San Francisco model a little bit. Doesn't it sound like, I mean, I don't know if that's kind of what it sounds like to me. I don't know about you, obviously different offenses, but that's kind of what it seems like.
Yeah. It really seems, honestly, Jim, that Chris Ballard saw what San Francisco did, but also Tennessee with just a bruising running game, Derrick Henry. And you also have an accurate quarterback that doesn't make mistakes, in Ryan Tannehill. They'll take risks. I think if you just contain Philip Rivers' turnovers a little bit, you can maybe see sort of the similar formula there to a Tennessee or San Francisco. But let me dive in now, Jim, to Pierre Desir for a second, because that's a surprising cut over the weekend. We're getting on Brian Hoyer as well here in a second. But Pierre Desir, his contract extension, the first thing I noticed when it happened last year was there was no dead money on it after the first season on it. And that's exactly what happened here. They cut him right before that guarantee money was due. He fought through injury all year, a hamstring injury, Jim. The performance definitely did dip from 2018 to 2019, but why didn't the Colts do this, and what do you think happened next to that position? Because I would now be pretty stunned, honestly, if the Colts don't address cornerback again early in the draft.
Yeah, I honestly think they maybe could go out and get a veteran. Doesn't have to be a guy that you expect to start right away, but just to give you some depth. I mean, if you're going in with Rock, who I like and I think has talent and I think really did play better in the second half of the season, and Marvell Tell, again, I like Marvell. I like the progression he's shown, but I don't know if you want to depend on that and a rookie on the outside. So I definitely think there's maybe room for a veteran, maybe somebody, I guess somebody cheaper than Pierre Desir, if that's the route that they decide they want to go. But I will say, you know, rewinding back to Pierre, I was surprised, to be honest with you. I mean, you saw the contract, you talked about it. This is kind of the way Chris Ballard does business in terms of contracts. He front loads them, and that way he's able to get out of them if he doesn't think you're living up to them later on. There's numerous examples on the Colts of these kind of contracts. But I was surprised that Pierre was cut so quickly after the 1 year. Obviously, they love him as a person. He was their Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee last year. He's a great guy from just my personal experiences with him in the locker room. He played through a lot of injury. I thought he had a very good 2018 and definitely showed some upside, even, you know, for a slightly older guy. I was surprised. He was, I think the word he used is blindsided by this move. I can't really explain it. I kind of thought the Colts would show a little more patience with him, given the kind of guy he is, given his value in the locker room, given how much a guy like Kenny Moore, you saw him on Twitter, how much he loved playing next to a guy like Pierre Desir. I thought they'd give him a little more time. I was surprised by it, but there you go. Colts are making their moves the way they see fit. And Chris Ballard has been pretty good about these kind of things. He's had some mistakes in the past for sure. To me, it seems like if you're cutting Pierre Desir, if you sign into a 3-year deal, even if there is no dead money, you're saying, well, maybe I shouldn't have given him that contract last year. But that's the way it looked like to me. But I think they're going to have to address this position, I think, in free agency again with somebody or trade to get a veteran in there. And then, like you said, maybe get somebody early in the draft to provide some competition, because right now corner is looking a little unstable. And we addressed this in the beginning with Buckner. You kind of hope that the more pressure you're able to generate with the front, the better your DBs look. But I still think they'd want somebody with a little more experience, somebody they know they can count on back there.
Yeah, one last point here on the Sear move is that, like you mentioned, I feel like there's a lot of trust in Rakia Sin now post Denver game, he did play really well. That was a nightmare game against the Broncos of Cortland Sutton, but after that, he rebounded really well. But I also think, Jim, you can speak more of this because you're actually in the locker room more often since you cover the team, but it felt to me like Kenny Moore really stepped him into a leadership role last year and was actually a team leader. Maybe they believe that Kenny Moore could be the new secondary, the new leader of the secondary, so to say. And that Pierre Desir, like, they love him, of course, but they feel like Kenny Moore can kind of do the same thing from a leadership standpoint now. Am I wrong in thinking that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you're not wrong. There's a story I've been kind of toying around with. I haven't really been able to get to and get at the way I want, but the Colts have leadership councils. They have kind of a veteran leadership council and a younger leadership council. And one of the guys on that younger leadership council was Kenny Moore, along with Paris Campbell and a few others. So these are the guys that they do see as kind of the young up-and-coming leaders of the team. So I don't think you're at all wrong about the way they envision Kenny Moore. I definitely think they see him as one of the leaders of that defense and maybe of the whole locker room.
Yeah, I definitely think Moore is on a very, very high trajectory within this Colts team. But we can move on now to Brian Hoyer. Not a surprising move here, Jim. They had to do this either one way or another with Jacoby Brissett and Philip Rivers on the team, combining to make $46.5 million right now on the salary cap hit on the books right now. If they draft a quarterback, once more, they'll go up even higher. But what was your thoughts on them releasing Brian Hoyer? Not surprising, but it was a little surprising to me how quickly he got picked up on the open market by New England.
Well, yeah, I mean, New England's very familiar with him. This will be his third tour of duty with them, so they know who he is, and he liked the idea of being able to compete for a starting job, so that makes sense to me. I will say, yeah, I mean, it came down to Hoyer versus Brissett, right, in terms of who they were going to cut and what they were going to do. Now, I don't know if I think they probably took calls on Brissett in terms of trades, but I don't think they were looking to trade him. There's that distinction there. I think they were wanting to keep him, and unless they were maybe blown away by an offer or could send him to a place that he would be comfortable and have a chance to compete in, they weren't going to move him. And I know they like Jacoby a lot. So and for good reason. I mean, again, he's a reliable quarterback that you could use as a backup should Philip Rivers get hurt or miss time. Now, we obviously know that's something that Philip Rivers has almost never done in his career. Guy started for like 14 consecutive seasons. They do like Jacoby a lot. They do value his leadership. They do value what he brings to the locker room every day. And if they can afford to do that and keep him on the team for next year, then they're going to do it. Now, like you said, the cap hit is massive at quarterback. Could get even bigger if they draft somebody. But this is not a team that is actually, pushed up against the cash strapped right now. And they both are only on one-year deals at this point. Jacoby on the second year of a two-year extension he signed last year. And then, Philip Rivers signed in the one-year deal. So while it seems a little bit prohibitive at first, it's really not that big a deal given that they can get away from both contracts at the end of the year. So, it's spending a lot of money at quarterback, but I think that what they decided was better to have Jacoby as a solid backup just in case something goes down or something goes wrong with Philip Rivers.
What do you think is next for Jacoby, Jim? Because obviously it came out that it seems like obviously you go in the direction of cutting Brian Hoyer. You're going to probably believe more and more that's likely he stays in the roster next year, Jacoby that is. But if they do draft quarterback, I do wonder if they go the Josh Rosen route we saw last year. If they do draft quarterback, let's say round two or trade back up into round one, then they trade Jacoby on, let's say, that Friday side of their draft like we saw with the Cardinals last year, Josh Rosen to Miami. I wonder if they could do that, or maybe they do like the Sam Bradford route that Philadelphia did. They just wait it out until training camp when someone gets hurt, then you trade him somewhere for higher value. But I just don't know how you keep Jacoby around, honestly, Jim, because it seems to me like that's those two very competitive guys. I know Jacoby understands it, but he was a team captain last year. I'd be a tough pill to swallow for him to be around a locker room where it's not Philip Rivers' team, so to say.
No, I mean, you're 100% right, and maybe we should give – I've had those same thoughts myself, but I guess we try to give Jacoby the benefit of the doubt in that he is such a high-character guy and a good leader that maybe he can handle a tough situation like that. I think he can. I couldn't if I were him. That would be a very tough spot for me. But like I said, from all the things we know about Jacoby and the kind of person he is, perhaps that's a situation he can handle better than most. I still think that if they do trade him, they really like him and they like him as a person. And I do think if they move him, it's going to be in a spot. It's not just going to be because, hey, we can get some value for him. It's going to be one, because they got the value that they really wanted for him. And two, they're going to send him to a spot where I think they think he can succeed. I don't think they're going to send him, to Siberia, sort of say, and I don't know what team that would be at the top of my head, but I don't think they want to send him somewhere that they think he'll get buried on a depth chart or he doesn't have a chance to succeed. I think they do care about him and want him to do well. So if they can find that perfect marriage of getting the right value and sending him to the right team, they'll move him. But I really do think that you know, like I said, we'll know a lot more after the draft and then depending on what they do. But I definitely could see a world in which they have Rivers, Brissett, and a rookie quarterback for at least 1 year.
Jim, the Colts now have around $30 million in cap space after releasing Pierre Desir and Brian Hoyer. What do you expect next for this team free agency? Because I don't believe they're done just yet. Way too free agency is just starting for these bargain bin deals where Chris Bardugia gets the guys that he always covets on cheaper deals that he likes. So what do you think is going to happen there? And I really believe some fans are wanting Jadeveon Clowney on like a 1 or 2 year proven deal for a higher contract. Do you think that's a possibility with the Colts being in a win now mode, or do you think they maybe go like the bargain bin route we're usually seeing?
Yeah, I kind of think we might see Chris Ballard go back to the guy he was before he became the big splash GM that he was last week. You know, we've seen him kind of go into that, like you said, the bargain deals, the Eric Ebrons, where, you know, stinks the way kind of things ended for him between him and the Colts, but that guy probably outplayed his contract just in the first year. You can almost say the same for Justin Houston, given how much pass rush he gave them. Jabal Sheard was the guy he kind of got. I think that was probably at market value. But those are the guys that kind of jumped to mind, guys that he got, veterans maybe. I wouldn't know if they're undervalued, but maybe a little undervalued or overlooked. I definitely think you're right. I think he's going to make a couple more of those moves to shore up the roster. And we talked about this already. I kind of think one of those new moves probably needs to be a corner. I'd like to see them add a pass rusher just because I don't think you can have – you could have 6 pass rushers, and I still don't think you have enough. I love being able to cycle those guys through. You have Kamoko coming off a tough injury. I assume he'll be able to get back and play, you know, get back to where he was before, but you don't know. And so you'd like to have somebody outside of Justin Houston and Banigou as guys that can kind of pursue the quarterback. And I'd love to have another veteran in there to kind of help him do that. A guy on a 1 or 2 year deal, a veteran, a guy I like a lot is Marcus Golden, wouldn't cost a ton of money, I wouldn't think. And you could bring him in for a couple of years and hope that, you know, he can help supplement the pass rush in that way. Those are the two spots I like a lot. I would say tight end. I would say receiver, but I don't know what's out there that they're going to be super attracted to. I still would expect them to sign a cheap receiver, maybe in the $3-5 million range on a 1 year deal, just to give themselves some depth. And again, definitely to address that position in the draft. Tight end the same. I would expect them to maybe address that position in the draft, maybe a little bit later, rounds, you know, 3, 4, or 5, something like that, or even further beyond. But those are the things in free agency I would target. Corner, to me, is the priority now that you've cut Pierre Desir. And then an edge rusher and maybe kind of a depth receiver. Those are the places. And then maybe offensive line, but I really think they're going to try to do that in the draft. I know Chris Ballard has kind of mentioned before liking having young guys in the pipeline to develop. So I think that's kind of where he'll get the depth there.
One quick free agency point as well, Jim, I want to hit on with you, is Devin Funchess, because I feel like he's the one guy, if the Colts bring up any more free agents, it's going to be Devin Funchess, because he kind of fills that Mike Williams, Vincent Jackson role that Philip Rivers always loves, those big body targets, maybe another cheaper deal for a guy like Devin Funchess. But do you think it makes sense for them to bring him back at this point, or do you think they moved on to greener pastures?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so that's I guess that's where I'm a little – I'm not sure with, like, Devin Funchess and is he the Mike Williams. Like, he's definitely a big body type guy. They look similar, but I always thought Mike Williams was more of a – like a go-up-and-get-it deep play guy, whereas Funchess was more of like a possession guy. He uses his body to create space between himself and the corner. I mean, I think we saw the way the Colts wanted to use him in the first week, which was, you know, back shoulder throw, those slants on, like, third and shorts where he can just kind of create some separation. I wouldn't mind seeing him go get a guy like that or a guy like Mike Williams. I don't think, you know, if they bring back Devin, it'll be because the price came down because I don't think he's going to get a contract similar to what he got last year. I think the receiver market's just really tough right now for all those guys out there because you have such a stacked draft class. It looks like there's 24, 25 guys who, you know, most, you know, the draft Knicks are saying have top 3 round grades on them. So it's going to be hard for some of these guys to get paid. Robbie Anderson is still, I think, the top receiver on the market. He hasn't kind of picked a destination yet. I think that might push some of the dominoes over once he does. But we've seen a couple of receivers get signed in the past couple of days. But yeah, I don't know. I like Devin Funchess in terms of the fit and the size, but we'll see. I'm going to say I doubt that he comes back, but I wouldn't rule it out entirely.
Last few questions I had for you, Jim. Appreciate the time as always. As far as the draft goes now, we're less than a month away from that officially. How do you think they're going to spend 34 and 44 and 75? Those are their 3 picks on day 2. If they don't make a move up, I still think there's a chance they can make a move up into the back end of round 1 if maybe a quarterback slips down that they like. But
yeah,
I have to believe maybe wide receiver and corner, like you mentioned, for free agency are probably the top 2 needs for this team right now as far as the draft goes. offensive line depth, though, too, we haven't hit on it yet in the show, Jim, but losing Joe Haig and Josh Andrews and letting them walk, I think means they might like this offensive line class a little bit, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if you got a guy, I think there's a guy like Ezra Cleveland I've seen in a few mock drafts that kind of slipped around, too. You know, Anthony Costanzo, it sounded like, you know, when he talked, he signed a two-year contract. He wants to play for two more years. I'm not sure how much further he wants to play or go beyond that. It would be really nice to have a left tackle in the pipeline ready to plug in if he was done after 2 years. So I know, you know, that might frustrate some Colts fans who are in kind of a, you know, more of a win-now mode. But, man, having a second-round tackle you could develop behind Costanzo and Braden Smith would be – one, it would be nice depth because if one of those guys goes down, you have him. And two, in a couple of years, if you need to have replaced, you know, Anthony Costanzo, you have somebody that's like primed and ready to go. I really like that idea. Receiver, like you said, it's such a stacked class. They definitely have a need at that position. I think they'll probably address it in round two or round three. And then, like you said, I mean, there's that chance that if there's a guy that they like, if it's, you know, say it's Jordan Love and he slips to 22, 23, 24 in the draft somewhere in there, would they consider packaging some picks to go back into the first round and get one of those, get that guy? I definitely think that's something they'll consider if there's a quarterback they really, really like. So a lot of options for them. Again, and we've seen Chris go and get a corner in round two. Like he did that with Rock last year. Maybe he does it again. Maybe there's another corner in round two he really likes, and he's got a couple of young guys that he likes to start next year. So he could go any of those directions. They have enough needs. I mean, I could even see him going tight end. I mean, I know they really like Mo, and obviously Jack is who, you know, Jack Doyle is a very reliable guy, but if there's a difference-making tight end that they can get in round two, maybe at 44, I could see them going that direction if that's somebody they want to go. So they have a lot of options, and just because they have a few needs at different spots.
Yeah, there really are any options that the Colts could go in, really, over the next month as we go up to the draft, because – I think it's going to be one of the more important drafts for Chris Bowers. He is now pushing the chips in with DeForest Buckner and Philip Rivers. But last question I had for you, Jim, the uniforms. Surprising enough that there could be a tweak to the uniforms coming up. Associated Press, as Joe Reed mentioned yesterday, that the Colts are one of seven teams who are going to be tweaking their uniform or their logo. Just to clarify, you mentioned on Twitter today, just for the audience listening, what did you hear on that?
Yeah, so I can't say a ton, and I don't know a ton to be as frank as I can be. But all I'll stress is that when I tweeted out minor adjustment, it's going to be minor. I don't think it's going to be I know it's not going to be a huge change. So I wouldn't expect that. I don't really want to speculate. Like I said, I don't actually know what the change is going to be, and I don't want to speculate as to what it might be. But I would just stress based on the person I talked to over with the Colts, that it's going to be a minor change. So that's about the most I can say about that right now, is that it's not going to be something that is very noticeable, I would think, when they reveal it, and should be later this offseason. I think what they're, you know, the Colts right now are still trying to figure out. I think everybody's trying to figure out right now what is business as usual as it relates to the coronavirus. And so I know they had a date kind of in mind, but they don't want to say anything necessarily just in case, you know, things get rearranged. But it should still be later this offseason that they make that reveal. And again, it's not going to be a huge, like the Rams, you know, revealed a couple days ago. It's not going to be anything like that, or massive changes and a big reveal and all that stuff. I wouldn't expect anything like that.
You guys can follow Jim on Twitter at Jim Aiello. You can read his work over at Indianapolis Star with Joel Erickson. They do awesome work covering the Indianapolis Colts. And they also have their own podcast, too, Colts Cover 2 Podcast. Appreciate the time, Jim.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Anytime.